As Paul said, my name is Nathan. I'm also one of the student ministry directors here. And I actually wanted to start this morning with a story. So picture this. There I was, a freshman in high school, a bowl cut, covered in acne, really kind of greasy. I have an image to kind of help give an example, an accompanying image. Yeah, there he is. Woo, there I was. Yes, so picture him sitting at a lunch table with some of my buddies one morning, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, the girl that I had a crush on at the time, I see her coming towards me. And so the anticipation is building in me as she gets closer, right? This is it. This is what I thought to myself. She's coming over here to talk to me. Closer and closer and closer until she's right in front of me, and then she moves right past me, ends up talking to my best friend who's sitting right next to me, does not even acknowledge my existence. It's like I was not even there. That's crazy, right? I was the whole package. Come on. I still don't get it. To this day, I don't get it. But do you know this feeling, though? This feeling of not being seen, this, hey, I'm here too kind of feeling. When everyone doesn't even acknowledge your existence. You see, there's a word for how you felt if you felt this, and it's called being marginalized. There's a definition of this word, and I wrote it down for you. It is to be pushed to the fringe where you can be ignored. Does that make sense? You're out on the edges. You are not at the center of activity. See, we're starting a new series this week, so we have a beautiful slide for that. It's called Loving Like Jesus in a Fractured World. So next week, Mark Poland is actually going to be speaking. So, yes. I can confirm to you, Mark and I are the dream team, and he's going to get to talk to you next week. But this week, I'm going to talk about the marginalized people in our lives, and we're going to focus on how to be a better lover. You heard that right. A better lover. You're going to get to tell all your friends and family that you learned how to be a better lover at church. And what I mean by that is you're going to learn how to better love everybody. And what do you think I meant? Come on. God sees your sinful thoughts, guys. But seriously, it is so, so critical that we understand how to love people. All of us have people in our lives who desperately need our love, and often we don't even see them. We look right past them. We honestly might not even know their names. We might not know who they are, what their story is, the pain that they're dealing with in the moment. Sometimes you work with them, maybe you live next to them, and you just don't see them. But the thing is, Bible says you have to love everybody if you claim to follow Christ. Everyone. This is what it says in James 2:12. That might be the Message version. I don't know. That was not what it says in James 2:12. This is what it says. It says, whenever you speak or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law of love, the law that set you free. Do you see that, guys? No matter what you say, no matter what you do, the Bible says God is going to judge you by the law of love one day. What is that? What is the law of love? Well, it's the great commandment. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible says that we're going to be judged on that. This is what it says in verse 2:13, the very next verse. You must show mercy to others, or God will not show mercy to you. He judges you. The person who shows mercy will stand without fear at the judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's James 2:13. God's mercy is so powerful. Yes, it is so powerful that it wipes out everything. It wipes out four key things. This is where you are going to want to start taking notes if you haven't already been. We're going to do a little call and response later. We're going to have some crowd interaction, and you need to know the stuff. There's going to be a quiz on this next week. Mark's going to be up here like, all right, remember. So there's four things I want you to write down that mercy wipes this out. Mercy is so powerful, it wipes out God's judgment of you, which is legitimate for all the sins you've committed. It wipes out Satan's judgment of you, which is false, but he accuses you. He wants to shame you and put shame on your life. God's mercy wipes out what other people think of you and how they have judged you your entire life. And it also wipes out your self-condemnation, which is how you've judged yourself. God's mercy is that powerful. When we read the Gospels, we can see that Jesus went after the marginalized people. It also says that as believers, we're commanded to love everybody. We don't get to marginalize anyone. Every single person, we are to love them. Everybody matters. Everyone's important. And today, we're going to talk about that. Jesus would walk up to people and they would say, "Lord, have mercy on us." You've probably heard that phrase before if you've cracked open the good book. Jesus was so simple. Boom, mercy. Boom, mercy. Lord, have mercy. Boom, mercy. It actually says that if you crack it open. That's the verbatim translation. But it was the hallmark of his ministry. He never denied anyone mercy. Not a single one. In Matthew chapter 20, there's just this incredible story of Jesus healing two blind guys on the side of the road. He's walking through a town. He's got all these followers. And it gives us the principles we need to better love people as we go through our daily lives. So check this out, Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 through 34. It's kind of a long passage. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd scolded them and tried to get them to be quiet, but they just shouted louder, "Lord, have mercy on us." When Jesus heard them, he stopped and looked their way. Then he asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, we want to see," they said. Jesus felt compassion on them, so he touched their eyes, and instantly they could see. Then they all started following Jesus. Wow. Did you guys catch the five things Jesus did? There's five actions that he did. Look at the verbs. You remember English class? Verbs, they're actions. There's five of them in this passage. They are, he heard, he stopped, he looked, he asked, and he touched. Write these down. You're going to need them for the pop quiz. We're actually going to test this. What was the very first one I just said? He heard. Thank you. You guys are paying attention. This is awesome. Jesus was listening. You see, love starts with listening. Listen for clues that people around you are in pain. People all around you are in pain. And you just don't notice it. Honestly, I reckon that there are people in this room who are in pain. I'm in pain. I don't talk about it that often, but those close to me know that I've lived my entire life with near constant physical pain from a medical condition that has no cure and no good treatment. But people don't often see me wince in pain, or they don't often see me show my pain. That's just the nature of our lives. There's people in pain all around you, and you have no idea. You're just not tuned into the fact that people around you are dealing with things. Let's be honest, why would we be? We can't constantly put everyone in the center of our attention. People are relegated to the edge of our life, the peripheral. And by doing this, we are marginalizing them. We're marginalizing people who are experiencing pain because we're not seeing them, we're not noticing them. But like I said, you can't keep everyone in the center of your life. But these people are pushed to the sidelines in this story. I mean, picture this. Jesus is walking through a town, a city, wherever he goes. He's got this huge crowd. Everywhere he goes, he's the center of attention. Everyone is following him. These guys are not the center of activity. They are quite literally on the sidelines. They are on the side of the road, and they're marginalized because they're blind. Do you see that part where it says the crowd scolded them? The crowd actually tries to stop them from shouting. If I had more time, I'd love to get into that a little deeper, but think about that. This doesn't stop the blind guys, though. They keep shouting, and they're shouting because they're in pain. See, people today in our society are doing exactly what these two guys did. They're shouting. They're shouting in protest marches. They're shouting at the ballot box. They're shouting on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. They're shouting in posts. They're shouting in blogs. Maybe they're shouting in your face. That's never fun. Yet, despite them shouting, we often don't even hear them. You see, if you're actually going to be a good lover, you have to start with your ear. Because loving starts with listening. Are you listening to the people of pain, in pain all around you? Or, when you hear that pain, are you tuning it out? Are you changing the channel? Are you just going to scroll to something that tells you what you want to hear? Because if you surround yourself with people who only talk and think and act like you, then often you're not hearing the pain of everybody else. And that's not what Jesus called us to do. Sometimes you've got to listen to the people who totally disagree with you to understand their pain. And to be a better lover, you need to learn how to really listen. Check this out. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:13, if you shut your ears to the cries of the poor, your own cries will be ignored in your own time of need. That verse is stressful. It is. It raises the bar. But it's something to think about. What was the second thing Jesus did? Do you guys remember? He stopped. Yes, thank you. It says in Matthew 20:32, what we just read, when Jesus heard their cries, he stopped. See, Jesus was going somewhere, and he was interrupted by these shouts. If I want to be used by God, I have to get used to the interruptions. Because God comes to you many, 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 many times, not in the scheduled things in life, but in the interruptions. Do you guys relate to that? I often say to the youth that the big moves of God happen most when I'm saying to myself, oh God, not now. God, not that. Or, this is the best one, oh God, not them. But that's when God shows up. Those are the moments that God is using you the most. It's not the, all right, I've boxed out 10 minutes on next Tuesday to pray for a random man on the side of the road. I mean, that can work, but it's in these moments when we're so busy and God is trying to yank us out of our life to have the kingdom break through. These are the moments where God has a stop. Jesus stopped. Being too busy is our biggest excuse. I mean, honestly, have you ever felt like you needed to pray for someone or talk to someone, and then you're just like, I'll get them next time, God. I'm sorry. I can't. Too busy. Better luck next time. I've done that. To be honest, I have done that. I have felt that many times. Yet, listening isn't enough on its own, because listening doesn't show much love if you aren't going to stop and do anything about what's being said. Check this out in Philippians 2:4. It says, "Let each of you not look to your own interests, but also the interests of others." What was the third thing Jesus did? He looked. Yes, that's right. Everywhere Jesus would go, he would hear, he would stop, and he would look. Same order. I could give you example after example of him doing this throughout the New Testament. I'm going through life, I hear something, somebody in need, I stop, and then I look. He is turning his attention to these guys who are yelling. See, the greatest gift you can give someone is your time. Your attention is infinitely valuable. We only have so much of it. Jesus knew this, and he's giving his full attention to these two blind guys who are on the side of the road yelling. When Jesus looks at you, he sees your pain. He sees your brokenness. Do you look at other people the same way that Jesus looks at you? It's a rhetorical question, but do you see people's pain and their brokenness? Do you look at them with compassion? It says when Jesus looked on the crowd, he was filled with compassion. When you look at people, are you criticizing them? What's wrong with them? Are you looking at them unconcerned? I don't even see you. Or do you have a hateful eye, an angry eye, a bigoted eye, any other type of way, anything that is not love? Because Jesus was filled with love when he looked at people. None of those things are going to transform people. It's when you look people in the eye and love them unconditionally. This, it says Jesus, when he looked at the crowds, he was moved with compassion. When you look at crowds, are you moved with irritation or frustration? You roll up to your Bethel concert and there's no parking spots left? This is actually me. Every single time I try and go to Chick-fil-A, it does not matter what location, I roll up to Chick-fil-A craving some chicken. I finally think of it not on a Sunday. That's like the first battle. And the line is wrapped around the building twice. The parking lot's completely full. Sometimes it's spilling out into the street. It is always like this. It does not matter what time of day. The only day it's not like that is Sunday. And that's just a shame. Little side note, this Chick-fil-A they're building on Hill Road over here, that is going to be the busiest restaurant on this earth. That's going to be a mess. That's going to be a monster intersection once that Chick-fil-A goes up. And every time I'm going to try and cross that road, am I going to be filled with frustration? Am I going to be irritated that I can't get my chicken because every other person in Reynoldsburg and Pickerington is trying to get their chicken at that same spot? It's a silly example, but it's true. Yeah, it is. It's true. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw crowds. But that's what it means to follow Jesus. What was the fourth thing? He asked. Good job, guys. I was a little nervous people might not make it to four. This one's actually pretty straightforward. You ask people what they need. You don't just assume you know. It says in Matthew 20:32, Jesus stopped and looked their way, and then he asked, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus stopped and looked their way, and he asked them. He let the person in pain set the agenda. He didn't come in and say, I know what you need. I know what the fix is. I am Jesus, Son of the living God, and I know exactly what you need. He's the one person qualified to say that. But that's not what he says. He lets the person in pain set the agenda. He says, what do you need? How can I help you? How can I serve you? So I'm going to give my attention. I'm going to ask a question. Because when you ask questions, you're drawing it out of people. You're not assuming. You know what they say about assuming? Proverbs 25 says this, counsel in the heart of man is like a deep well, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Ask questions. Draw it out. Because we don't know everything. Let the person in pain set the agenda. What was the fifth thing? Touch. Guys, you got all five. Wow, I'm very impressed. And give yourselves a round of applause. You're taking notes. I'm so happy. So you've listened. You've stopped. You've looked. And you've asked. You ask that person at work, how can I help you? It looks like you're having a hard day today. Maybe you're at the grocery store. Hey, you're having a hard time. Can I help you with anything? How can I assist you? How can I serve you? Then you do whatever you can to help. This is the final thing. Look what happened when Jesus asked his question. They said, Lord, we just want to be able to see. We're in the dark. Guys, they're in the dark. Don't you see the parallel? This is us. This is where we are right now. How many people in our society are in the dark? How many people have no idea where they're going? They have no idea where they came from. They don't know who they are, what their identity is, what their purpose is, why their life matters. They don't know their significance, and they don't know Christ died for them. They're in the dark. And Jesus felt compassion. It says in Matthew 20:34, Jesus felt compassion for them, so he touched their eyes, and instantly they could see. And then do you see how that ended? Then they started to follow Jesus. I want you to notice this. When Jesus is showing love to people, and this is the way you show love to people, he is our perfect example. He used his ears, he used his eyes, he used his mouth with his words, and he used his hands. He touched, he acted. I suppose the only thing he didn't use was smell. I'm sure there's some instances where you could smell that someone needs help with something. I'll let you guys do with that what you want. My point is, he's totally involved in helping the people move to where they need to be. And this is what we need to do too. I'll say it again. I want this to challenge you. It challenges me. Look at the edges of your life. See the people in the margins. When you see a beggar on the side of the road, roll down your window and ask to pray for them. Ask them their name. It's hard. Once we leave this building, it gets a lot harder than it seems when we're sitting here like, yeah, I'll do that. yeah, I can do that. And then we're in the moment and it's so hard. But it doesn't have to be. When you're on social media, when you see someone in pain, even if you think you're wrong, listen to them. You might help. You might even learn something that you didn't already know. I know. Believe it or not, we don't know everything. Isn't that crazy? In closing, I really think God is challenging us to step up, you know, to be better and to open our earthly little minds. We got to see past the things that separate us. We got to see past politics and race and class and age, all of the things that can marginalize people. We're the body of Christ. We are who are supposed to be carrying out the mission. Yes, we are the ones who are supposed to be loving people in this cruel and fallen world. If not us, then who? Do you feel that tug? God didn't bring you all here today by accident. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. No. He wants to break you out of your comfort zone and bring you closer to Him. And He does this by bringing us closer to others too. Loving people doesn't have to be hard. Doesn't have to be complicated. We just have to follow the example that Jesus set for us. That being said, let's pray that we can follow it. If you want to bow your heads. Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning. I pray that you just help us to follow the example that you've set for us. Help us to love people better and help us to see the people in the margins. Father, I pray that you help us to see the people trapped in the dark, the people in pain, and that we can be a light for you in this world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.